Watch to do something. I'm going to ask her to give me that look at about 10 minutes to 12. She knows what look that is. And she knows if I don't get that look, sometimes I'll just keep on talking. Today's scripture is found in John chapter 8. And really, the whole chapter, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. We're going to concentrate on verses 12 through 59. So I'm going to start reading it. I'm going to read verse 12, then I'm going to jump to verse 21 for the sake of time. Hear God's word. Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And then jump down to 21. So he said to them again, "I'm going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come." So the Jews said, "Will he kill himself, since he says, 'Where I am going, you cannot come'?" He said to them, "You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." So they said to him, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "Just as I have been telling you from the beginning, I have much to say about you and much to judge. But he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him." They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, and I always do the things that are pleasing to him." As he was saying these things, many believed in him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are the offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are the offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen from my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing what Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing what your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not from God. The Jews answered him, Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, Now we know you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, He is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he could see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, You're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. God bless the reading of his holy word. Long scripture passage. As chapter 8 begins, the chief priests and the Pharisees have been seeking to have Jesus killed. They've been looking for ways to catch him in something he said or something that he did that they could use in order to kill him. And so he was able to move about in Galilee, and he did great wonders and miracles in the Galilee. But he was careful not to go into this area of Judea, where Jerusalem was, unless he did it very carefully, because the Pharisees and the chief priests were on a mission to take Jesus and to have him killed. The feast, there are three major feasts in the Jewish calendar, and this is one of the important feasts, the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths that it was called, and the two others, of course, was Pentecost and Passover. But this one was the Feast of the Tabernacles. And when they celebrated those days that they spent in the wilderness, and it's kind of like our camping trip, or kind of like the Neshoba County Fair. They had temporary quarters. They basically did little tent-type things with the limbs and built some shelters. And they stayed in these shelters for 8 days. And they remembered their days of wandering in the wilderness. It was about ready to start, and his brothers came to him and they said, You need to go into Judea, Jesus. A man who wants to something publicly, something, you know, if you're trying to establish a reputation, you need to go down to Judea where your disciples will see these miracles and things that you're doing. And now at this point in time, his brothers were not believers. So we really can't be sure about what their motive was, why they had advised him to do that, to go to the feast. But he told them he was not going to go at this time, right at this time. And so his brothers left and went on then to the feast. Jesus decided later that he would go to the feast, or he went later, but he went secretly, quietly. Because the chief priests and the Pharisees were seeking to capture him and to have him killed. He said that the reason that he didn't go just yet when his brothers suggested that he go was because his time had not yet come. There was much talk about Jesus among the people. And so even though he had to be quiet, we would say, in his coming and going in Jerusalem, there are people that were talking about. Words about Jesus were on the lips and the minds of the people. Some of the talk was very positive. Some was negative. Some of them said he was a good man. Some said that he was possessed by a demon. Some wondered if he could perhaps be the Messiah, the one who was promised. The Jews knew that a Messiah was promised. Perhaps that he was the promised Messiah. They talked, but they kind of kept it on the hush-hush in that they did not want to speak openly about Jesus for fear of the Jews, the Jewish leaders, the chief priests and the Pharisees. But in the middle of the feast, Jesus went into the temple and began to teach. The Jews that heard him speak marveled at the eloquence of his speech, at the power of his preaching. And they said, "How is it that this man who has not studied has such learning? How is that?" And they questioned him. And Jesus said, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me." Some said, some recognized him. They said, "Isn't this the man that they're wanting to take and to kill? And yet he teaches openly. He speaks openly, and they're not doing anything about it. Maybe the authorities, after all, really do know that he's the promised Messiah, that he's the Christ. Maybe that's the reason they don't take him." But then some said, "Well, you know, we know where he's from. He's from Nazareth. Nothing good can come out of Nazareth. And after all, I believe the prophets prophesied that the Messiah was going to come from the city of David, Bethlehem, the city of David." And so the chief priests, they set out to do whatever they could to capture Christ and catch him in something that they could use as a basis for charges to be brought. On the last day of the feast, Jesus stood up and he said, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And so division became very clear. You were either for Jesus, you really believed he was perhaps the Messiah, or you thought he had a demon or something worse. There wasn't much middle ground concerning who Jesus was. The officers, the soldiers and the officers of the temple had been sent by the chief priest to try to catch him. And finally, the chief priest sent back and had them come back in and question them as to why they had not done what they had been sent out to do. And they said, "No man ever spoke like this man." And they said, "Have you too been deceived?" And they questioned the soldiers and said, "Are there any members of any of the authorities, are they believing? Have any of the Pharisees believed?" They were concerned that people were turning to Jesus. And that concerned them deeply. And they knew that something had to be done. Now, the first 11 verses of chapter 8, we didn't read, but that's that famous instance where Jesus, where they tried to trap Jesus. They brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery and put her in the midst where Jesus was sitting in the temple and teaching. And you remember that story. She's in the middle. And they said, "Well, Jesus," or teacher, whatever, however how they addressed him, they said, "Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Well, what do you say?" And we know Jesus kneeled down and he wrote something in the dirt with his finger. We don't know what he wrote, but he bent down and they continued to ask him. And he stood up and says, "You who are without sin, cast the first stone." And we know that one by one, they turned and they walked away till only Jesus and the woman were standing. And he says, "Does anyone condemn you?" And she said, "No, sir." And he says, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." Then verse 12, we come and Jesus, three important facts I hope we're going to get to unless I get to look. We're going to try to get to 3 points. First one, Jesus said in verse 12, "I'm the light of the world." I'm the light of the world. Then he says, I am the truth that will set you free. And the last point he said is, I am the great I am. Three things. Verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but it will have the light of life. That's a bold claim. Jesus says, I'm not a light. I am the light of the world. If you want to be done with the darkness, you come to me. I am the light of the world. A bold claim. If you go back to Genesis 1, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And then jump all the way to Revelation. And we read concerning the new Jerusalem. John writes, and night will be no more. There will be no lamp or sun, but the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever. The Jews of Jesus' day, for generations, had been taught that God was the God of light. Psalm 119, verse 105, he says, His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And speaking of Jesus, the word that we talked about in Sunday school this morning, we read in chapter 1 of John, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome him. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light, referring to John the Baptist. And in verse 9 of chapter 1, he says, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. John likens the Christian life to walking in light. It reminds me of one of Perry's favorite songs, Stepping in the Light. The Christian life is about walking in the light. Who's the light? Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. And in verse 5 of 1 John, we read, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But then, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 2, verse 9, John continues that same truth. He says, whoever says that he's in the light. If we say that we believe in Jesus, we're saying we're in the light. Because he says, I am the light of the world. He says, whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because darkness has blinded his eyes. If someone locked you away in a dark room or a cave and left you a little while, you'd be blind. You'd get to where you couldn't see. The absence of light, you would lose your vision. Jesus is the light of the world. Think of that contrast of light and darkness. We should never be shocked at all by what occurs in the darkness. When Jesus spoke to the Jews, we read in verse 31 to 33, it says that some believed in him. And he told them, he just told them that he's the light of the world. Then he says, I am the truth that will set you free. And when he told them that, that was insulting to some of them. That he told them that he was the truth, and the truth could set them free. Their reaction was, he said, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And if you abide in my word, and you're my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they responded by saying, wait a minute. We are the children of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone. So how is it that you can say to us that you'll set us free? And that, think about it, that's like so many today. They didn't really understand. It wasn't that they were confused or mistaken. They truly didn't understand who they really are and what their need is. That they are sinners in need of a Savior. That's what the world needs to understand. Anyone who is not in the light, who is not abiding in the truth, needs to understand that each and every one of us are a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus said, if you are a sinner, you are a slave to sin. And each and every one of us, so were all of us. Just as they were, so are we all. Psalms 14:3 says, all have turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Jesus says in verse 34, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. There's no exceptions to that fact. He didn't say some. He said everyone. The freedom we have in Jesus Christ comes because He frees us from the guilt of our sin. He frees us from our bondage to sin. And He frees us from the darkness of walking in sin. In addition, the Jews to whom He spoke, they live lives under the bondage to the law, the yoke of the law. The ceremonial law of Jesus' day, I understand, included some 600 and something do's and don'ts, traditions and regulations and obligations that they had to keep, that they had and they trusted in order to have standing or status before God. And when we come to Jesus, we're freed up from all of those bondage and because we move from being slaves to sin to being sons and daughters of the living God. Jesus in verses 39 through 47 had some things to say to the Jews that were listening to him there in the temple that were hard for them to hear and perhaps difficult for us to hear. They were clinging to the fact that they were the children of Abraham. They thought of themselves as good Jews. They were the children of Abraham. And they thought that entitled them to some standing before God. We're children of Abraham. And He says He's going to free us. Doesn't He understand who He's talking to? Jesus said that they were not doing what Abraham did. They were not trusting in the promises of God. They were not living lives of faith. They were trusting in their ethnicity, their race, if you will, the fact that they were Jews, their bloodline. But none of that could set them free. They objected, we were not born of sexual immorality. We're not bastard children. We're Jews. We're sons and daughters of Abraham. Jesus said, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I'm here and I came not of my own accord, but He sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because, listen clearly, it is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and it is your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Wow, if you think about what Jesus just said. Wasn't politically correct, was he? He didn't speak what the leaders of his day wanted to hear. He said, you can't even hear what I'm saying to you. You are following your father, the devil. You can't even hear what Jesus is saying because you're of the devil. So the Jews told Jesus, when he said that to him, you're a Samaritan, or either you're filled with the devil, you're filled with a demon. And when I read that, I had to ask myself questions. And I ask you the same thing. How does my faith in Jesus Christ affect how I live? How does my faith in Jesus Christ affect how I live, how I think, and how I treat other people? John, in his first letter, 1 John 3, he said that there were people in the church who were professing Christians, and yet they hated their brothers and sisters in Christ. And he likened them to Cain, who killed his brother Abel. And Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, I'm going away. And you're going to seek after me when I leave, and you will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come. You see, you're from below, and I'm from above. You're of this world, and I'm not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, that is the Messiah, the Son of God, you will die in your sins. To the Jews who believed in Him, He said, if you abide in My Word, if you stay in My Word, if you cling to My Word, if you put your anchor in My Word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. All of the learning and education of the Pharisees and the scribes could not set them free. They needed an encounter with the truth of God and the person of Jesus Christ, His Son, in order for them to be set free from their spiritual darkness and their bondage to sin. And that hasn't changed, dear ones. They questioned His authority to say the things that He said and to do the things that He did. After all, Jesus made Himself equal to God. He healed and He cast out demons and He forgave sins. He didn't keep the ceremonial laws that they advocated and said you must keep, particularly regarding Sabbath keeping. He ate with and He fellowshipped with sinners, with publicans and tax gatherers. He even invited some to be His disciples. He hung out with the unclean, with the prostitutes, the lepers, the adulterers, sinners of every hue. How could He possibly be the Christ? So they called Him names. They said, no, 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 you have a demon. And He said, no, I do not have a demon, but I honor My Father and you dishonor Me. Yet I do not seek My own glory. There is One who seeks it, and He is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps My word, he will never see death. At that, they said, well, now we know for certain that you have a demon. Abraham and the prophets died. Are you greater than Abraham? Who do you think you are? Who do you make yourself out to be? In verses 54 through 59, our third point. And she hadn't given me the signal yet. Okay, she has given me the secret. Okay. It is My Father who glorifies Me, He said, of whom you say He is our God, but you have not known Him. I know Him. If I were to say that I do not know Him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know Him, and I keep His word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see My day. He saw it and was glad. Abraham saw Jesus with the eyes of faith. And so he said to the Jews, so the Jews said, you say you've seen Abraham and you're not even 50 years old. And Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones in order to kill Him. But He made His way out from the temple and hid Himself. This last point captures it all. Jesus is the light of the world, and Jesus is the truth that will set you free, because Jesus is the great I Am. Jesus is God. He is God Almighty. He is the sovereign creator and sustainer of the universe. He commands us to believe in Him, and so we must. The lost world defines freedom as being able to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, in any way that I want to do it, put myself on my own throne, be my own God of my own little kingdom. That's what the world says. But Jesus, this is not what Jesus was talking about in this passage. To know Christ is to know true freedom. His Word and His Spirit enable us to accept His will as the purpose for our lives. We struggle with sin, as we said earlier. We struggle with sin, and we will all of our lives until our salvation and our sanctification are complete when He comes back to take us home to be with Him forever. But one thing that is very comforting and is true for each and every one of us who believe and trust in Jesus Christ is that in the meantime, if we are His, we will be growing in our hatred of our sin. And we will have a tendency to see our sin and our love for sin weakening day by day, moment by moment, as we grow closer with Him, our Lord and Savior. John 16:27, he says, For the Father Himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. Because of who Jesus is and what He has done, you and I who trust in Him will not have to pay that eternal penalty for our sins. That would be justice. It would be justice if each and one of us had to pay absolutely, completely for our sins. But praise God, we don't have to. He paid it all. He paid for my sinful words. He paid for my sinful thoughts. He paid for my sinful deeds. He paid it all. And if you have trusted in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross on your behalf, then you are completely and utterly free. Free from the bondage of sin and the wages of sin, which is death. Many of the Jews that heard Him that day, on that occasion, they didn't understand that He was the light. They didn't understand that He was the truth that would set them free. And they certainly didn't understand that He was the great I Am. Jesus said that they were children of the devil. And they took up stones to kill Him. That spirit of Satan is still in the world today. It still has that same kind of effect on people. Many times people react with anger and even violence toward the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, we're called to take the truth and the light into the dark and angry and lost world who desperately need a Savior. Some will believe. This is Scripture told us they did when Jesus spoke that morning. Some will believe. So where to go? John 6:65 says something that's hard for people to hear too. Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." His final instructions to you and I, we read in Matthew 28:20. He said, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." Let us pray.